Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Pick up a fragrance for a loved one this Christmas from Chemist Warehouse, the real house of fragrance.
Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Well, thank you for tuning in to the Listener app. If you missed the show, missed any of the show this morning, there was a strange voice, a calming, soothing voice.
Oh, it was so nice. Liesl Jones, that is so wonderful. Thank you.
The mellow tones, dulcet tones.
Honestly.
I don't want to put you to sleep.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't anything like that. It's just the earthquake that normally I work with. I don't know if it's a volcano or an earthquake, but it starts rumbling at about 4:30 in the morning and it just washes over me. It has been such a wonderful joy. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And I'm in a lot of trouble when she hears
this. Yeah, hopefully she's not listening to the podcast. And you learned a lot this morning because we were talking about money laundering, Triple M audience.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
What, that there's bad people out there? Some bloke sent a text to me, I didn't get it on air, and said, check out who owns gyms. But I can't see there being money laundering in gyms, how do you?
Wow, there's no pokey machines at all.
We're there to get fit.
All right. Topic for another day. Anyway,
but
Liesl Jones.
Why don't bikies do weights on their legs? Why have they only got muscles up top?
They always miss leg day.
They're good
at the bench.
Because they're on their motorbike. I suppose they don't need their legs.
Well,
they need a push bike.
You will find out what we're talking about.
There's no bikies listening.
Well, our anonymous callers. You'll hear them all coming up.
Yes, wants to.
That's up in just a moment. Oh, by the way, clue. If you want to win $10,000, it's got to go this week. What was the word? One of the answers.
One of the answers is conditioner. So I'll let you work out. It's either hair or air, and the answer will be conditioner.
For Tuesday, 7:25, you're on your way to winning $10,000. It's the Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast at Triple M. Margot's up north for a day off. Liesl Jones, our special guest in the studio. Liesl, this is Margot's Thought on Sport.
Yeah, we just talk about a big story that's caught my eye, and one of the ones this morning is Mitchell Pearce, one of the greats of NRL. He played. Anyone who's played 309 games of NRL needs to be up there in the upper echelon of elite players. Played for the Roosters, played for the Knights, won grand finals. But it's probably State of Origin that most of Queenslanders remember his efforts, because for those 8 series we won in the row, he was halfback for most of the time for New South Wales. Poor bugger.
Not a good record, no.
Yeah.
Only 8 in a row.
And I see in this final interview, he always seemed to be, well, Wayne Pearce, I knew his dad for years, and he was clean, living, incredible human being, so I never could work out how he gave birth to something like this. Mitchell Pearce, here he is, his final interview before he heads on the plane. He's going to go over to play for Catalans, who are in the bottom end, just the south of France near Perpignan, lovely little place. Pearce wants NRL fans to remember him as a good person who owned his errors. "I haven't been perfect," he says. "No doubt I've made mistakes. We all make mistakes here and there," and that's true for all of us, yeah?
Absolutely.
"And I suppose when you've got a profile, these things get a fair bit of more attention. So we may as well go through those mistakes right now." What I'm giving the bronze medal for.
Have a list.
How much time do we have?
Well, I'm only going podium.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going 1 to 10.
Okay.
I'm going third place for the bronze. I'll call this woman in the yellow dress affair. If you followed Mitchell Pearce's career, Pearce was arrested in 2014 in the Cross following an unsavoury incident where he gave the cops a gobful after being ejected. I think there was some groping of that girl in the yellow dress. I have seen the footage.
Okay.
Fined $20,000 and banned for one match by the Roosters. That's the bronze medal. The silver medal, of course, wedding crasher, I'll call this. Pierce's wedding was postponed earlier this year when he was caught sexting a female employee at the Knights. Tim Payne, you should have paid attention that day. And, of course, the gold medal is what I'll call Dog Day Afternoon, Australia Day 2016. Pearce was filmed simulating a sex act with a dog while in another person's apartment. $125,000 fine and suspended for 8 games.
That's
holy moly.
If you actually hit Wikipedia, and I don't know whether these things are always true, but I'd already done the podium when I go, "I just better check everything's fine." And you wonder, where does this behaviour come from? You go, how did it get to this stage? Because his father wasn't setting that sort of example.
No, it's not Wayne Pearce.
In December 2005, Pearce, who was then 16 years of age, was at a charity golf function in Queensland's Sunshine Coast when he was attacked by a drunken Craig Gower, the Penrith Panthers captain. Gower allegedly chased Pearce around the resort with a glass bottle before vomiting on him. Gower was also accused of manhandling and groping Pearce's older sister, Tatum.
Now, please note, this is Wikipedia. Anyone can and edit that.
If Craig Gower wants to give us a yell and tell
please
us how
please let us know because that's hilarious.
He had a hand in who Mitchell Pearce is today. Well done.
Smarto's thought on sport. It's the Big Breakfast. Liesl Jones, our special guest this morning. This is Brisbane's Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo's not here, but Liesl, thank God you are, because Margo never listens to when I want to talk about cricket.
Any
interest in cricket?
A little bit.
Okay, a little. I'll take advantage of that.
A
better
little.
Than you've had, Mark.
All right. As expected on Friday. Actually, I've got to tell you one thing. The Gabba test starts next Wednesday, so 9 days away. Sold out first day. Quite incredible.
Wow.
Because if anyone didn't know, the Gabba's been under a fair bit of pressure. Oh, it's old. Oh, you know, but the players want to play there because we always win. It's like our fortress. Playing the first test at the Gabba is a great thing for our summer. Okay, so that's the good news. If you want to go second, third, fourth or fifth day, there's still some tickets available. But Friday, as expected, fast bowler Pat Cummins made captain of Australia, only the second time in history that a fast bowler's because they're so busy and they're aggressive and they're tired. So it's a bit of an ask for Pat Cummins to be the captain of Australia. You understand his job and
absolutely. Yep. And I think he's a good choice. Very down to earth human.
He's very modern. He's very, actually, he's wonderful.
Grounded in his values.
But now all the former cricketers are going, Steve Smith, vice captain, he's come back into the leadership group. Mm. This should be interesting. And there's a lot of them. Apparently, he wanted the head job. He wanted to go back as captain, but he's satisfied. He's saying, oh, yeah, I'm happy to help Pat Cummins. And Pat Cummins will need it because he'll need help setting the fields and stuff. And I see. Previously, vice captains used to be wicket keepers who didn't want to be captain. You know, Adam Gilchrist,
right,
Heels,
yep.
Maybe Brad Haddin, people like that. They said, oh, do you want to be captain? No, I don't want to be captain, whereas Tim Payne did take it on. So I see where some of them, this is the older, the former cricketers, have gone, this is what, you know, what does a vice captain do? You know, and some of them have gone, I think this is Ian Healy, good on your heels. There needs to be spark and fun, maybe some social organisation, things like, where are we going for dinner? That's
really?
Where are we going for dinner? That's he will have to demonstrate a lot of energy and think about others even more than the captain does. The captain thinks about the team and strategy, but the vice captain needs to think about taking the stress out of the players' lives. Like, where are we going to get the sandpaper? That's the most important thing for tomorrow's play.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Liesl, can you tell everyone what we were just talking about, food, and in what particular way?
Well, I am a big fan of the retro revival of 80s food. Now, I'm a child of the 80s. I was born in 85. So growing up in the 90s, my mum was a great cook, but she always did the classics. Now, I'm putting a call out there that we bring back 80s food, such as curried sausages, deviled eggs.
Curried sausages... just sausages and onion with a bit of curry in them.
Keane's curry. It has to be Keane's curry powder. It must be the cheapest and obviously. The best. And that's what it must be. I feel like we just need a revival of the simples. We don't need to go too extravagant.
80s food, just to remind me, would... give me a couple more. Apricot chicken?
Apricot chicken.
Yeah. What was that about?
That's delicious.
That canned apricots
basically
with some
chicken.
That's all it was. And to cover up the taste of the chicken, that's we had apricot
chicken.
I loved
pouring packets of stuff in with mince.
Yes, mince and the carrot and corn.
Shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie.
My
delicious.
Mum used to love that.
Mashed potato, chuck it on top. And then there's also the curried egg sandwiches. And if you were really fancy,
I still have them.
Curried egg and lettuce.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll still go those, bring them in, and everyone hates them around here. I've got to go and hide to eat them. But
they do smell like farts, but...
They sure do. What about... Hold on, keep on giving me a couple of 80s food.
Cob loaf for Christmas is always good. Prawn cocktail.
You're kidding. Is somebody still doing these?
Prawn cocktails, you still need to do them.
Only the fancy foods. Restaurants you'd get the prawn
cocktail.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. What about crumbed anything? I now realise as an adult that mum, anytime meat went green, she just started crumbing it. So
yeah, that's it. You don't see it.
It was tasty, but I realise now what she was up to.
And milk powder. Milk powder was a big thing. I used to eat that dry.
What?
Powdered milk. Yeah, just... have a spoonful of powdered milk. No. It was delicious.
All right, can we get reminded, everyone else, 133353, what 80s food trends need to make a comeback? Think about your childhood and what made you happy and why aren't we still doing it?
All right, well, give us a call. We've got a Christmas ham from Rody Meats. Rody Meats, family-owned, award-winning butcher based in Stafford Heights. Mm. So we got hams in time for Christmas. 80s food, what do we need to bring back?
Chucky rang up. Chucky from Buchan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, where are all that, guys?
Yeah, your 80s food, what is it, mate, that you want to come back?
It was the apricot chicken, but you have apricot nectar, but you put in French onion soup, and that's what thickened it up and changed the flavour and made it so it didn't taste like a salad and then with chicken bits in it.
I guarantee every parent around used French onion soup in everything, just the packet mix, and it just boosted the flavour of everything.
Yeah, but you have to use a good one.
Yes.
Oh, did you just? Yes.
Well, there's a no-frills one, you're in big trouble.
Right, thanks for the tip.
Chucky, how about a Christmas ham from Rody Meats? That'll keep you going, huh?
That sounds wonderful.
Good on you. Chucky.
Appreciate the call. 133353, 80s food on the comeback.
Brandy snaps with whipped cream.
You
know the brandy snaps? That is
so 80s. I just check? Everything with mint formed the centre point because it was cheap to start with. And then you just threw things in there and went, ta-da.
Shepherd's pie.
yes.
Steak and kidney.
All right. Matt from Pack Pines. How are you, mate?
G'day, Marto. G'day, Liesl. How are you going?
What do you want back from the 80s?
I've got two. I've got bangers and mash with onion gravy.
Onion gravy,
I'm still into that.
Oh, I want to eat it now. And the old Sunday roast.
Yes, yeah, you're right. We love a Sunday roast. I've moved to a chicken roast, though, in the air fryer.
I'm a roast pork man.
There's an art to it. Are you still doing it, though, Matt?
Oh, not every Sunday, but I try to probably maybe once a month, maybe twice a month.
Because it was always an after-church thing in the olden times. Now should it be after you get home from Bunnings sort of thing? Yeah. That is the new church. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, Dean from Redcliffe.
Guys, if curried sausages make some sort of a comeback, I'm going to go and jump off a cliff. The most revolting concoction.
The guy
who came up with that shot. And the funny thing is, Mum thought she was being very exotic and she'd put sultanas in hers. As soon as I smelt that filthy, watery cat. I would run into the kitchen and say, Mum, save me two sausages out of that crap.
Rinse off the sausages. Pull the sausages out and rinse it off. I think sultanas is a no for me. Yeah. That is not allowed in curried sausages.
Going too far. Too exotic.
Too far.
Hey, Dean, what do you think she was doing? Was it the off sausages that she was trying to disguise?
No, look, she was, to her credit, she was cooking for seven kids, so she was always trying to...
Oh, that's fair.
Very, very lovely. But she thought she was being quite an exotic cook and it was just revolting.
Yeah, we don't need to go too far. We don't need to go away from Australian culture, which is so exotic in itself with curried sausages. We don't need sultanas.
We've already nailed it.
Dino, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Dino.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Lisa, can I, television, I don't know if you, do you watch the news at night time, the 6 o'clock news?
I have to be honest, I don't watch a lot of news.
Where do you get your news from?
I don't.
All right, okay. If you're going to ever want to do this job,
aimlessly.
Well, you've got to get your head around what's going on, especially if you've got to turn up in the morning like here. So I sit down and watch it, and over the years, and I've been doing it forever, watching the news, trying to bring in, that's what happened today, About 8 to 10 years ago, they went from 30 minutes, Channel 7 and Channel 9, to 60 minutes.
It's too long.
They don't have a news, which is why I've started this.
Not enough news for an hour-long bulletin.
Not enough news. And I've picked them up, I'm not just talking about dogs on skateboard. There's news from countries we've never heard of that we don't need to know about. There's news where they say, and on tomorrow night's news, and as I say, it's not news if we already know what's going to be on tomorrow night's news.
It's not today.
They're just stretching it out. They're filling the taco with lettuce, basically. Mm. They're stuffing it in and going, eat.
Coming up in 8 minutes. Coming up in 7 minutes.
And they trick me sometimes. And last night, there were about 100 Santas on the water, and I waited the whole bulletin. I waited for an hour to go, that looks good. When it finally happened, I went, that was pretty slack. And that's what part of my life is. So, once again, they've done it. Now, Channel 9 it was last night, and I start watching. And I go, because it was an Omicron night, night. And I'm going, I got to know what Omicron, what's going on with my Omicron. I've just got to be on top of it. And they started, and they found a new way to jam an ad in. This is the all-time record. They jammed an ad in within about the first 10 seconds of the news. They went, that's enough news. I better throw an ad in. Here we go.
Good evening. We begin tonight with a major COVID development with...
Tis the Sunday to be jolly.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle. Omicron is upon us.
It's it's Christmas. We got Hamish in there telling... Hold on. Still going?
A champion.
They are travellers who have come in from Southern Africa.
Maybe Channel 9 didn't mean to do that. Maybe there's some guy, I think it's called an editor or a tape
work
mixer, is looking for a new job this morning. Good luck, mate. Not enough news for
an hour-long bulletin. It's the Big Breakfast.
Well, we spoke to him last Monday. We spoke to him on Friday. We went, how is he still doing this? How's his body coping? What about the weather? It's going to end soon. He's never going to make it. And then we turn on the news Saturday night and Mick McLaughlin has broken the world record for 2,001 holes of golf. Holes of golf, not just shots, holes of golf completed in less than 7 days. Mick.
All right.
You're a legend. You are a legend.
Good morning. Good morning, Marta, and welcome back, Lisa.
Thank you.
What time Saturday did you finally wrap it up?
I don't know, mate. I don't know what time it is today. I think it was about 6:30 or something in the evening or thereabouts.
Wow, you had a big crowd there.
Yeah, just before dark, and I midway through the day, I had been hitting the glow balls during the week, and they're like hitting rocks, and if you don't hit it on the sweet spot on the club, you feel it right through your arm. So I said to Ben, my son, I said, mate, there's no way I'm finishing in the dark and finishing with those balls because my hands were aching at the time. So I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, we're on an hour at the moment." He said, "You're gonna have to get down to 50 minutes around if you want to bring it in before dark." So I said, "Okay, well, let's give it a shot." So the next nine, I brought in 41 minutes. At that stage, I had no feeling in my feet and I had no feeling in my hands. So it got to the stage where I was kind of relying on memory, really, to get me across the line. So,
Mick, your story is so incredible. I've invested so heavily into this story when I first heard about it. How many shots per round were you shooting? Because it just seems to be I would have shot about 30 and I would have wasted so much time and you were doing it so quickly, so you must have been pretty low.
He was hitting straight.
I was hitting them fairly straight most of the time, but at times I kind of... lost a bit of concentration and got a bit fatigued and they were going all over the place. And I kind of had to have a chat with myself and give myself an uppercut and say, mate, if you're going to achieve this, you're going to have to cut down on the shots. The bunkers were a bit of a killer. And if there's anything that comes good from the rain, at least it put the bunkers out of play. So I had the option of when I went in there to not have to chip out of them.
Of course, it was all for Ronald McDonald House. You're such a great supporter, but even better now. How much did you end up raising?
Oh, I think it's close to 260,000 and ticking along because some people committed to paying to putting some money in if I complete it. So if they haven't put in already, they'll be expecting a phone call from me sometime this week.
Mick, what was the significance of you wearing red shoes? Is that Ronald McDonald? What was that?
Yeah, well, I had three different pairs of shoes. The foot doctor looked after me and said, mate, what do you want? And he said he can turn anything into a pair of golf shoes. So red and yellow are the colours of the house.
Yeah.
So I had yellow shoes on certain days and red shoes on other days and white shoes on other days. And I found actually the red shoes were the most comfortable. And if you're going to act a clown, you may as well look like one. So
Yeah,
I love it. And any injuries throughout there that must have been so many, I guess, shoulder injuries, of course, blisters and things like that on your hands, but anything else?
Well, I had an old football injury where I broke my big toe and it looks like I'm going to lose the nail on that because it's black, because that's my turning foot. But I had to, in the last two rounds, physically, or just stand over the ball and just tell my hands to grip the club because I had no feeling. And I was worried that I would lose the club and not hit the shot. So the two rounds were purely running on memory and trying to convince my hands to close and get around the club.
Mick, can you remind everyone, if they want to go, I've never heard this story, it's phenomenal, where do they go to find out and donate some money?
So mixgolfchallenge.org.au, the page is still open and we're still looking for donations to try and get it up. I'm getting a bit greedy now and want to go over the 300,000
Why not?
If I can. We had a corporate golf day was supposed to happen on the Wednesday, but it got cancelled because of the weather. So we're going to have that in January. So that'll be another opportunity. There's some fantastic auction items that we can auction off there. And I could probably enjoy a game of golf that I wouldn't have when it was on Wednesday anyway.
How long until you'll play golf again?
Whenever my hands start closing, yes. I probably will.
You're amazing. Mick, you're incredible. If anyone just joined us, 2,001 golf holes completed in less than 1 week, and Mick's raised more than $260,000 for Ronald McDonald House. Love your work, Mick.
Thanks very much, guys, and have a good day.
The Big Breakfast. The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
Liesl, I saw last night, I don't know whether you watched, I can never stay up doing this job, 60 minutes on a Sunday night, because it was after Brickmaster Celebrity, and I was, you know, real
you're
keen
tired
to
after that.
Oh, nonsense. Anyway, it was on late, but I saw the ad during the news, and I went, oh, it was called, they were doing a story called Dark Money.
For years, the pokies industry has denied it has an organised crime problem. But now it's been caught on camera.
I know. We all laugh, the brickie's laptop, that sort of thing. You know, have a slap after work. That's funny at that hour. Well, that's, you know, if you can control yourself and just put 10 or 20 in and have your fun, a beer, and then head home or whatever, it's good. But this, well, they're talking the reason some pubs are open until 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning is just so these pokies operate. And can we throw this up?
CSI model.
Oh, it's a need to know.
Liesl, if you know.
I need to know.
Oh, you don't know? Because there was a guy, they had a vision, they had CCTV of a guy just feeding $100 notes into the machine. And I'm sitting there going, hold on. How does money laundering work? I know it's a weird topic, but someone, whether you're a bikie or a cop, surely give us a ring on 133353.
Let us know how to do it. We have no idea. But you see it in the movies all the time. Well, I have no idea.
Yeah, what's your interpretation of it? How do you reckon it goes?
Put it in the washing machine, you wash it out.
I know.
I know. You put it into a casino, that's what the movies do. They go to a casino.
But then
and
how do they get it out?
I don't know.
Well, I watched that guy with the tent and I'm thinking, here's in my brain, This is what money laundering is.
All right.
Because if you go over 10 grand, I think the hotel, if they pay it out. So he loads it in, he has one spinner to lose, and then he goes, oh, I'll cash out. So he gets $9,900, gets a check,
or puts it into
his bank account.
Or
I don't know.
Well,
that's
notes,
why we want to know, I guess.
Well, why do you want new notes?
Where isn't that what the laundering is? You don't want those notes.
I don't know.
With the serial number.
See, we don't know.
I don't know.
But then there's shop fronts for laundering as well. It's not just pokies. There's other ways of laundering money, which I have no idea about. And that's
what
we're
betting? Is there betting? Can you do it with betting? Like on horses? I don't know.
133353, that's where we're asking. Has anyone got an idea on how money laundering works?
So, yeah.
We're not doing anything against the law here, are we?
Can we muffle the voices if we need to?
Yeah, you can absolutely remain anonymous. In fact, I think we'd prefer you remain
yes,
anonymous. 133353, can you just the basics. How does money laundering work?
Because I'm sure you can only do less than 10 grand at a time to keep the authorities
that's what
away
we
from
want to find out.
All right. Is there an expert somewhere in Triple M land? 133353.
By the way, I've got tickets to the Big Bash to see that. These are proper tickets too. There's no laundering going on. They're proper tickets to see the Heat. Don't miss a moment of the big hitting action this season. Tickets selling fast at brisbaneheat.com.au for helping us out.
Anonymous.
Hello.
Yes, sorry, because I didn't know. I wasn't allowed to say your name.
Hey, Marto, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Liesl's here with me. How do you launder money and how do you know?
All right, so I used to work at an undisclosed casino as a bartender, and I did night shifts. I was doing 11 till 7 a.m. So I'd see the boys come in probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock after a night take. They'd walk straight up to the roulette table, and they'd drop anywhere between 6 to 9 grand in notes.
Oh,
and
so below 10 grand is the magic figure.
Okay, so Austrac, so any cash transaction over $10,000, you've got to fill out a form which goes to the Australian government, right?
Yep.
So 10 grand's your limit. So as soon as you drop the notes on the roulette table, it goes into the cash box. Now, those cash boxes, they don't get cleaned out. They get cleaned out twice a day. So every 12 hours, they get cleaned out.
Yeah.
So you drop your cash on that, you turn into chips, and then they used to basically have one or two goes in the roulette wheel, pick up the chips, turn around,
walk
a little 10 metres to the cashier, and then obviously they've got, the notes that obviously haven't been tagged or numbers or anything like that.
Right, so they might throw in $9,500 and they'll walk out with $9,400.
Correct.
Right. And is it new notes that they're after, like the serial numbers on it?
Yeah, so basically, so let's say, you know, there's been, you know, cops have marked notes and whatnot.
Okay.
They're basically getting rid of those notes, and then obviously they're going to the cashier and they're getting the new notes.
Right.
Because, you know, the casinos are holding millions and millions of dollars of cash, and, I mean, it's hard to track all of those serial numbers on all those notes.
Right.
So once it hits the drop box, I mean, no one's going to see those notes for at least 12 hours.
So Anonymous, what do you reckon about what they were talking about, the pokies? Same sort of, same theory of things?
Of course it is. So when I used to work in hotels, same thing. Yeah, I know. My love. Crazy. So we're basically cleaning out the poker machines once every 24 hours. So the morning shift, we're basically cleaning them out. So you just let them run for a day.
Yep.
Whatever notes go into the box. I mean, obviously, you have to be talking big clubs to be carrying that sort of cash.
Yeah.
Most of your smaller clubs, like if you win a $10,000, you know, pokey multi-link, they're writing you a check and whatnot. But
so, do they? Is a check all right by them, or do they want the cash?
No, they don't care.
Yeah.
Check or cash, it doesn't matter. So long as they've got rid of the notes that could have any sort of, you know, tracking for serial numbers and whatnot.
What happens if they
win? That's all
they're doing. They win a big amount and then it's well over 10,000.
They're getting a double win.
Oh,
they're getting
wow.
clean cash and they're getting a win.
Hey, Anonymous, so good. Thanks, mate. We got one more Anonymous. We can't take everyone's call. We've got another Anonymous. What do you know about money laundering?
Hello.
Yeah, we're talking to you. Sorry, it's hard when Anonymous 1, Anonymous 2. We're trying to protect your identity.
Yeah, it's okay, mate. I used to knock around with, in another life, blokes that made a lot of money in a lot of different ways. And we obviously did fairly well ourselves too. And the way we did it, we had happened to know somebody who was an SP bookie.
Yeah.
So
we'd all just go to the races,
yep.
And for $1,000, he would give us a ticket saying we'd won $10,000 on one or two races.
Yeah, right. And to justify how much money you had on you.
Yeah, and it's completely indisputable. Five or six of us walk in and walk out with $60,000 worth of tickets.
So like the barcode on the bottom when you have a winning ticket, is that right?
No, it's the bookies where you go up to the...
They write it out. Okay.
Free hand.
Yeah, it's just big bags of money and a piece of paper and no one can do a thing about it.
Mr. Anonymous, did anyone get in trouble? Did anyone get caught?
Well, it's all about who keeps their mouth shut.
Yep.
And with these blokes, you would never get to know them unless you'd proven yourself to be able to keep your mouth shut.
I'm with you, and sometimes they ride motorbikes. I'm with you.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Well, I think we've all learned something. We've learned a lot this morning.
That was fascinating.
Thanks for ringing us.
All right. CSI Mardo, thank you for your calls.
Wow.
Big breakfast at Triple M. Mardo and Margot Liesl Jones is our special guest in the studio this morning. We need your help here, Liesl.
It's not just a matter of ringing 1-333 during the day, 1-333-53 during the day. You can send it on the burner phone, and people do over the weekend, Liesl, and we answer their questions. So, are you ready?
I am so ready.
I'll put some in front of you. Brendan from Caballabar. So he needs a ruling, and that's quite often what these are about. Need a ruling on this one, please. My wife has just forked out $40 for a lunchbox for our grade one-er for next year. That's well organised, isn't it? That's excitement.
Does it have food in the lunchbox?
No, it doesn't. And he's gone, surely that's $45 too much. He obviously wants us to reply, yes, you're right, Brendan.
It is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Mm. Where's it made?
Well, it'll be China. I think we know.
But now they have room for ice boxes and everything, because the days of just going to school in a paper bag or something or other and everybody being soggy and hot, those days are over.
You just had a Vegemite sandwich chucked at the bottom of your bag, and if it got squashed, that's too bad.
And you'd find the Greek kid and get the interesting sandwiches
right.
off him,
good
and mate. He'd be looking forward to a Vegemite sandwich, that Italian or Greek
that's
kiddie.
That's right, or you get a yummy biryani.
Another way to look at this, Brendan, is just flog it for yourself, because it's obviously,
yes.
and whatever you're using, give it to the kid. That's how you're paying the bills, mate.
Get the label maker, put your name on it.
Exactly. Brendan. Couples holiday, Brett from Kenmore. Wife thought it'd be a good idea to go on a double date style holiday with the best mate. You understand where this? So four of them, I think they're saying, aren't they?
Yep.
We picked up the bill most nights thinking we'd split it all at the end. We're now $1,200 out of pocket. How do we get our cash back?
Debt collectors, always.
Straight there.
Straight there. Go hard. Get your money back.
So go through your phone until you found your friendliest bikie and send them over there.
That's extreme. That's wrong.
Well, if you're the other couple, you've gone, God, Brett and his missus are pretty generous.
Very kind.
They've got good jobs, and isn't that nice?
Yeah, so, that's
and
right.
You, do you offer? No.
Well, I think you should. I would. I can't have that money hanging over
normal
my head.
Normal people would offer.
Normal people would. Yeah. That's a bit rude.
What would you do, Marto?
They're shit friends. Get rid of them, Brett.
Turf them.
Done.
Yeah. No more double dates.
And here's one from Haley from Stafford. Hey, guys, I'm the owner-operator of a very active five-year-old girl. I'm looking for a summer sport for her. Any suggestions? I'm leaning towards tennis.
I say tennis, 10 out of 10. It's a great sport. I love tennis personally. I think it's a great summer sport. You get paid well if you do it well.
Swimming's a summer sport?
It is. It's a lot of training and a lot of work.
It's a lot of looking at the black line.
Yeah, and it's very time consuming. I love swimming, don't get me wrong, but I think tennis would be a great choice. Golf is another great choice for women.
For a five-year-old girl, though?
Yes, get into tennis. Yes, and get into golf. Get in early.
Well, the money sports.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I like the golf one. Bowls, because there's a bar just there.
That's right. You can
just sit there and watch your child playing bowls.
And you can wear really cute outfits in tennis and golf. Mm. I would love that.
Righto.
Yeah, I'd do it for the outfits, just purely for that.
Hayley, you're hearing that.
Problem solved. Look, you can contact Marto anytime. He's got the burner phone with him 24 hours a day. You're just on it on the weekend. Well, he had nothing better to do. 0484 10 1045. Give us a call.
That's not exactly true.
Not exactly.
I can hear a Monday. I go, what came through?
Oh, look what's come through.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
The Big Breakfast, Liesl Jones filling in for Margo today, Marto.
Liesl, we've been told it's coming. It's worse than the Delta. It is...
Omicron.
Say that again, Siri.
Omicron.
Everyone's sweet on
Omicron.
That.
Omicron.
Do one more.
Omicron.
Okay, I bet you this bloke knows all about it. Dr. Paul Griffin, who's head of infectious disease at the Mater Hospital. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, can we deal with that little bit first? Why the Greek alphabet is Omicron's way towards past halfway? Why, whatever happened to beta and gamma and epsilon?
So we actually had beta, gamma and epsilon strains, as may be the case with this one, that they weren't really as big a problem as we first thought. So they had some concerning mutations, exactly, just weren't as infectious, and so it didn't take over like Delta has. I mean, clearly Delta is a strain that is really good at spreading and doing the things that we know it does, so it took over. But those other ones kind of just went away. And then we had new, which they thought would be too confusing because people just call it the new variant. And then they had Z, which apparently is too common a surname, so they didn't want to use that one. So that's why they skipped across to Omicron.
Oh, you know everything.
He's the best. So, Dr. Griffin, what makes this one so special? Why do we have Omicron now?
So one of the concerning things about this is it's got lots and lots of mutations, a lot more than perhaps we've seen in terms of some of those other variants. And in terms of mutations, we always worry when they're in the spike protein. So that's the bit of the virus that uses to attach to our cells, but also the bit of the virus that we've targeted with our vaccine. So the concern is if that changes really significantly, our vaccine protection might not be so good. But the importance is we haven't shown that's the case yet. There's potential, and that's what we're looking at now. There'll be lots of good laboratory studies and studies looking at how it behaves out in the community. But at this stage, we haven't demonstrated that it is actually the case just yet.
I hear it's so new that there's not a lot of evidence around. But there was a doctor in Africa, I heard in one of the news reports, saying it's not that bad for you, this strain. How true is that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have to take all those sort of reports with a grain of salt, but there's a lot of, you know, mostly anecdotal reports now coming out of there saying it isn't quite as bad as, you know, some people might be worried about. And that still we're seeing more severe disease in the unvaccinated. So our vaccines still, again, early reports, of course, but our vaccines still seem to be providing some protection. So, you know, if people are wondering how they respond here now, and it's really just doing all the good things we've done so far. Get tested if you have any symptoms, still do your hand hygiene and your social distancing, and go and get vaccinated if you haven't already. If people want to know how they reduce the chance of these variants coming and spreading, well, it's still to get the vaccines that we have now.
Hey, Paul, first dose, Queensland, 86.2%. Second, you know, fully vaccinated, 75.9%. Would you have thought we'd get to that stage? I thought we were going to be more hesitant at that. It seems okay, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, it's good and we should be grateful we've gotten this far, but we also need to not overcall that and stop that good momentum. We really need to get as high as we can. And, you know, I'd like to see us push into the 90s. I think, you know, a few months ago, no one would have thought that was possible, but we've seen it happen in New South Wales, Victoria, ACT. So it can happen and it should happen. So, you know, that's really got to be our focus right now is let's see if we can get into the 90s because our lives will be a lot better for it, most definitely.
I met my first bloke on the weekend. He'd had a booster shot. He's younger
already?
Than me. But, yeah, he's a FIFO, so for some reason they said they advised them all, but he's had his second shot more than 6 months ago, got his booster. Does it, and I never got around to asking him, do you have to have the same, you know, someone like me had AstraZeneca, is that booster AstraZeneca or I can get anything?
It's a bit of a complicated answer because there's a few sort of combinations and permutations. So, you know, seek advice from your GP or vaccine provider. But by and large, we're using Pfizer mostly for these boosters right now. So if you've had Pfizer, that's what you'll get for your booster. But if you've had AstraZeneca for your primary course, well, then most of those people will swap across to Pfizer.
So don't let the media panic us about Omicron.
No, that's right. I mean, it highlights why we need to do everything we can to stay ahead of this virus, particularly getting as many people vaccinated as possible. And, you know, across the world, we really should look at vaccine equity in these countries where this variant has arisen. But, you know, do all the same good things we've been doing and we'll be able to stay ahead of this one too.
And Paul, they're saying now that this Omicron is coming out of South Africa and there's a few questions as to whether we should be saying that they found it in South Africa, that they've got the leading epidemiologists in South Africa. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, I think, you know, while there's some people that are being a bit critical, I think we should commend them for finding this so quickly and doing that genomic sequencing and alerting the world to it so we can, you know, do those further tests and we can start, you know, changing our vaccines if we need to or our tests or other things. So, you know, in many ways they've done all of us a really good service by finding it and sharing that information so quickly. And, you know, that's part of the reason we've been able to respond so well to this virus is we do have access to this great technology and, you know, most of the countries are doing such a good job at doing exactly this sort of thing.
Love your work, Dr. Paul Griffin, Head of Infectious Diseases at Mater Hospital. At ease.
As always, thank you.
Thank you.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Liesl Jones, our special guest in the studio with Marto this morning. Marto?
Liesl, I'm not sure whether you're into the fight game, but that fight yesterday where the Sydney boxer, and no one has ever heard his name before. Well, I certainly haven't. They're calling it the biggest win in Australian boxing history.
Yet this man has won nearly every title there is.
He won four of them. I think there's now five lightweights. He's won the WBA, IBF, WBO, and the ring lightweight titles. There's one that was still some other losers got it. But anyway, so he goes over to New York, fights a bloke that lives in Brooklyn and should be, the whole crowd should be supporting, and it finished with them booing their man because he caused some nonsense. Who is George? Well, they call him Ferocious Cambosis, okay?
Oh, that's
it's hard to rhyme with Cambosis, but I'm thinking thrombosis, but it's not so funny for a boxer to be, oh, yeah, thrombosis, Cambosis. He played underage footy for Cronulla Sharks when Ricky Stewart was coaching down there. Did a bit of coaching with him, but he went, no, I'm into boxing. He was paid $10 for the win. He knocked him down. Lopez is the guy who fought it. He knocked him down early. He knocked him down a bit later, but he won in a judge's decision. 1-2-1 in a judge's decision. Now, I've gone, where has this guy come from? He's 29 years of age, and you're going, Jesus, that's taking him a while to become an overnight sensation when you're 28 or 29, whatever he was. He was Manny Pacquiao, the fighting senator from the Philippines who fought here at Suncorp Stadium. He was Manny Pacquiao's sparring partner.
Could you ask for anyone better, really?
Than to
one of
beat
the
you
toughest.
Up for
yeah,
years
to beat you
after
up
year
every
after
day.
Year, and finally you get your chance and you win a world title. It's a truly remarkable thing. Boxing is still a silly old sport where people try to bash each other, but these guys are only lightweight, so they're mid 60 kilograms.
Right.
But at the end of it, so he's fair dinkum. He's won four titles. He's got his arms loaded with belts. He's doing a post-fight interview. And then Lopez. And listen to the crowd, because he gets booed by his own hometown crowd when he claims that he won the fight.
I love a fighter, but I won tonight, man. Everybody know that. The referee raised my hand. I won tonight. I don't care what anybody says, yo. I won tonight. Hey, at the end of the day, I've been here. I've done that. I want to thank God.
How many more times can you punch somebody in the head until you get sense into them?
Did you see the size of Lopez?
Oh,
they
yeah, just a little.
Dwarfed.
Just
dwarfed Cambosis.
They're funny.
It's Marto's Thought on Sport. Hey, quickly, Triple M presents Midnight Oil Resist. It's the new album, the final tour. It's playing River Stage April 13. Tickets on sale midday Wednesday from frontiertouring.com. Best live gig you'll ever see. and possibly a last ever chance. The Oils, Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.